Good morning. My name is Tina, and I am blessed to share what the Lord has been teaching me and blessing my life with this year. And it started because I asked him. At first I asked him, you know, Lord, why don't I trust you in every situation? And then it was like, the better question is, Father, show me, you know, what I'm doing right when I trust you and I know that I'm trusting you so I can develop and grow this more in my life this year. And that is my goal this year. And I've been pretty blessed with what he's been teaching me and showing me. The word trust has some different Hebrew words and meanings, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce them, but I'll tell you the meanings. One is to rely upon and to have confidence in, and another is to flee for refuge, take shelter in. And another Hebrew word for the word trust is aman, which I can pronounce that one, A-M-A-N, that was pretty simple, which is synonymous, you know, for believing, to have faith, to believe in. So let's just do a little scenario here. Let's just say that you ran out of gas, it's midnight at night, black, dark street, and you're stranded, and a vehicle pulls up, they roll down their window, and they say, can we help you out? Can we give you a lift? What's your trust level there? Probably not real good, because why? Because you don't know them. So, right? So let's do a different scenario. Let's just say, same situation, you're stranded and a vehicle pulls up. It's a super nice King Ranch pickup truck and you can hear country music blaring from the stereo, and he rolls down his window and, oh, it's Blake Shelton. Hey, can I give you a lift? Can you need some help? And you're like, wow. You know of him. You might not know him personally, but you know of him. And so your trust level might be better there, but then you're smelling a little bit of beer coming from his car, so maybe then your trust level's not that strong. I don't know. But let's do a third scenario. Let's say a vehicle pulls up and you recognize the vehicle, and it is your brother or your sister or your mother or father. It's someone that you know very well. Do you hesitate to open the door and get in? Do you not feel relieved that you have a place of refuge? Of course you do. Why? Because you know them. You know them. So we're going to look at a few scriptures today on trusting God. Probably can't do this at all without first going to Proverbs chapter 3. So please take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, of course, is where we're going to start. I'm sure this is familiar to most everyone listening today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, thine own reasoning, thy own discernment. Trust in him and don't lean upon what your own head. Okay, so I'm not going to lean upon my own head, so what am I going to do? I mean, I got to trust him, but, you know, we have brains, we're thinking, our mind is still going. Maybe I should read the whole context. Maybe I should start in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So let's just stop right here for a second. Let your heart know. Keep his commandments. You know, watch, guard. Write them, and then we go back to verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. I love that verse. Write his word upon the table of thine heart. So shall you find, you're going to find something by doing this. What are you going to find? You're going to find favor and good understanding. That's where we're going to have the understanding. That's the discernment. That's the understanding that we have to rely upon as we trust in God. Please turn to the book of Ruth. We're going to look at a few little records and we're going to see how God unfolds this great thing about to know him. You know, you can trust him, or to trust him, you need to know him. Ruth, of course, it's a beautiful book that maybe you might want to take the time and read sometime in the near future. Something always unfolds itself for me when I read this book. And Boaz, who was a kinsman in relation to Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, who Ruth left her country to go with Naomi, and she was going to follow after Naomi's God. She left all the pagan stuff behind, and anyhow, she was gleaning in the fields, and Boaz, you know, sought her out and, you know, told that she could just glean in his fields and didn't have to go anywhere else, and that they could get food from there. And in verse 10, you know, she was very humbled and she bowed herself to the ground and wanted to know why she found grace in his eyes, seeing that, you know, she's a stranger. He does not know her. And Boaz answered and said, because it's been fully shown to me and all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how you've left your father and mother in the land of your nativity, and you've come into a people which you did not know. The Lord recompense thy work, and a reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now that word trust is from the Hebrew word H-A-S-A-H, which means to whom you flee to for refuge. But what's interesting and what's beautiful to me in this verse is that figure of speech, wings. It's anthropopathia. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. And it is a figure of speech that's attributed to knowing Jehovah and his tender care. Wow. Under whose wings thou art come to trust? Because you know Jehovah and his tender care, you're under his tender, loving wings. You're under his care. And you've come to trust. I don't even know what to say. Every time I read that, I just, you know, because I know him, I trust him, right? Jeremiah chapter 17, please. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And that word trust is confide, you know, trust and rely upon, have confidence in. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, has confidence in the Lord. So let's think about this for a second. Let's think about all the ordinary, or I guess I really should say extraordinary people and throughout, you know, history in God's Word. And just, I know if you don't know some of these people that I'm mentioning, you can look them up later and maybe read about their lives, and you'll see what I'm saying, how no matter what their circumstances were, they trusted in the Lord, and the results were phenomenal. But they were able to trust in Him because they knew Him. I mean, Noah, you know, I mean, how much trust did he have to build the ark and to do everything the Lord told him to do? Abraham and Sarah, trust in the Lord. Look at the results they received. Joseph, oh my gosh, all the different circumstances and, you know, opposition that he received in his life, and how he continued to trust the Lord, and look how it all turned out for him. David, you know, and he goes down there, and even, okay, so many different areas of the Bible regarding David, but of course we all can think about and remember, you know, him and Goliath. You know, David slew the Goliath because he trusted the Lord, by the Lord's power and might. His confidence was in the Lord, not in himself, not in his armor, not in, because he didn't have any, couldn't wear it, right? Esther, oh, she saved her people because she trusted in the Lord. You know, she had everyone pray and fast, and she's going to do what she needed to do because that's where she was placing her trust. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mary, the mother of Jesus. How about Paul? Let's look at Paul in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. We'll take, turn it to chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 16. Paul, doing the will of the Lord. You know, just cast out some devil spirits and set a woman free. And, in verse 18, I'm sorry. And this she did many days. She had some issues. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that their hope for gains, because she was making them money, was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them into the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates ripped off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, he thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, oh Lord, why, what happened? Why did this happen to us? What's going on? No, they didn't do that. They trusted God in the situation. They trusted Him. Why did they trust Him? Because they knew Him, and they knew the power of the Holy Spirit that they had within them. And they sang praises unto God. They prayed. They sang praises. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Everyone. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, was just about to kill himself because he knew what his fate would be by the rulers if that happened. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, don't hurt yourself. We're here. So he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before them. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Yeah. Man, in the midst of their circumstance, they were still just going to bring glory to God and keep moving because they knew him. They knew the power of who he was, and they knew the power of who they had within them, and they knew him. They knew God. They knew him. And therefore, they could trust him. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? So go to Matthew chapter 27. It's Christ in us, right? And Jesus Christ, learning to know more and more about what he did, it helps us to become more and more like him, right? So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 27, my pages were sticking. Verse 30, 41, when he was being crucified, the chief priests were mocking him, saying, he saved others himself, he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and then we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Wow. Was Jesus Christ the Son of God? Yeah. How does this story end? That circumstance right then wasn't very nice, but Jesus, he gave up his life for us because he trusted God. He knew that God would not fail him or disappoint him. He knew that God loved him. And then if we look over in chapter 28, verse 5, and the angel answered and said to the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified, but he is not here, for he is risen. Yay! We knew that happened, right? Acts. Go back to Acts again, chapter 1. Where is Jesus? Did he not get raised from the dead? Did he not ascend up on high? Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He was risen. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up in the heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner if you have seen him go into heaven. Hey, he's coming back. Then the apostles, they trusted because they knew him. They waited for the comforter to come. Cloven tongues set upon them. They spoke in tongues because they knew him. We have the Holy Spirit within us because we know him. We trust him in every situation because we know him. And when I think about what trust just really looks like, I go to Psalms 23. And if you'll turn there with me. If you want to know what trust looks like, go back and read this beautiful psalm of David, or memorize it. And sometimes that's what I do. I do memorize it, and I'll just recite it to myself. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have any want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. This is all about trust. This is what trust looks like. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, and you defend me. Thy staff, you protect me. You defend and you protect me. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. You know, so we can just feast while he fights for us. He fights our battles. He fights our battles for us. Big ones, little ones, mediocre ones. It doesn't matter. One of the greatest things I think I've learned from Peg and Light of Christ Ministries through the years is that beautiful phrase, press pause. When I'm beginning to be anxious or stressed or concerned, and I have to press pause and say, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you, you know, what is blocking you from trusting God with this situation, this circumstance? And then get, you know, trust him. I mean, you know, confront that so it can leave. In other words, confront it so it can leave. And the heart, the commandments are written on the table of mine heart, and that can rise back up to the top where they belong. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, I like to look over my shoulder and say, yep, they're still following me. Come on. Come on, Shirley. Come on, goodness. Keep going. Because I'm going to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Because I know him. Father, thank you that we know you. Thank you that we can trust you. I lift every person that's hearing your word today, Father, that you can show them in a very personal, special way your beautiful presence in their life and your power and your might in whatever situation or circumstance they're dealing with today. And that the outcome of trust is always good, good, good. And I thank you for that for every person in this fellowship today and for every person that hears this teaching. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.